You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, God Demonstrated His Love for You. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
50 years ago, radio occasionally reported the grisly stories of violence and murder. These stories shocked most listeners. Nowadays, however, television shows feature endless hours of killing and carnage. Every day, television programs display shootings and killings at the rate of 5 violent acts every hour. A special study commissioned by TV Guide reported that even children's cartoons register 25 acts of violence every hour. By the time they graduate from high school, the average student has seen on television 18,000 murders in full color, blood and all. Consequently, most adults and children display casual indifference to television's depiction of blood and brutality. This is normal, they say. The steady stream of endless hours of violence, blood, and death on television has created a culture which now routinely says it happens every day. So what? This attitude of indifference is applicable to every violent and bloody act nowadays except one. That's correct. Our sin-filled society, as calloused and jaded as it has become, still reacts explosively and with great rage when it learns about the killing or the murder of little children. Almost any society can be conditioned to accept almost all barbaric acts except one, murdering helpless infants. This is the one heinous crime that will always flame a fiery response. And this is also why the Bible story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac stirs people's emotions deeply. Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his own son, the one he dearly loved, is so unforgettable. How could such a godly man contemplate such a terrible deed, we ask? Now, of course, maybe you have never heard about this historic event, or maybe you have never realized the importance of this event for your life in 1997. To begin, let's point out that the Bible does speak about some individuals who absolutely refused to obey God. Others simply doubted God's word, and still others were outright rebellious. Abraham was neither. Abraham always listened to God's voice, and he always obeyed. At God's request, Abraham left his own people and his homeland and traveled to a far country, a place he did not know. Abraham made this trip simply because God had called him. Abraham always obeyed the Lord. One day, God gave Abraham a son named Isaac, and the love that Abraham had for this little boy is indescribable. Now, here is a very important point. Abraham's commitment and concern for this little boy did not go unnoticed by God. So, one day, God decided to test Abraham. This is how the Bible describes it all. It came about one day that God tested Abraham. God said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, and go to the land of Moriah. There, offer your son as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Oh, to be sure, this request made by God may seem incredible. Why would a loving God ask Abraham to do this, to sacrifice his son, the one he dearly loved? Yet, since Abraham loved the Lord with all his heart, Abraham obeyed. The Bible explains that Abraham rose early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, he took two of his young men with him, plus his son Isaac. Abraham split the wood for the burnt offering, then he traveled to the place where God directed him. On the third day, Abraham could already see the site where the sacrifice was to take place. Isaac, however, did not know what was planned. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac asked. Abraham answered, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Then the father and the son continued to walk together. Finally, they came to the place of the sacrifice. Abraham built the altar. He arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on top of the wood on the altar of sacrifice. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Suddenly, however, an angel of the Lord called to Abraham, saying, "Abraham, Abraham, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For I now know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." One of the most effective renditions of Abraham sacrificing Isaac was done over 300 years ago. In vivid color, the Dutch painter Rembrandt shows young Isaac lying on his back on a stack of firewood on top of the altar of sacrifice. Above Isaac is his loving father Abraham, and with his left hand holding his child's head back, Abraham is shown with his right hand raised and ready to bring the fatal knife of sacrifice into the tender and exposed neck of his son. If you ever see this powerful, emotion-filled painting, you will never, ever forget it. Now, what you and I need to know and never forget is why this picture, this painting, is so important for us in 1997. You see, Abraham did not go through with the bloody sacrifice of his son Isaac. But when God sacrificed his own son on the altar of the cross, God went through with it all. He went entirely through. There was no stopping, no intervention. Jesus was God's only son. And God did this all because of you, my friend. All because of you. For God so loved the world, including you, that he sacrificed his own son on the altar of the cross. And our gracious God did this so that whoever repents of his sin and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved from the terrible consequences of their sin. This is the good news for all of God's people, including you. God's good news is recorded clearly in the Bible. Jesus died on the cross to save you from the curse of your sin. And so, my friend, the next time you see a picture or a painting of Jesus crucified on the cross, then know that this all took place because of you and because of your many mistakes and frequent failures. God, the Bible explains, has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. The Apostle Paul also explains that although you were formerly alienated from God, and even though you were hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, yet he, your gracious Heavenly Father, has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through Christ's death on the cross in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Now, what I have just said and what I have just read from the Bible may seem to some of you as little more than mere religious talk. And some of you may have even heard of all of this before, that God loves you and that in Christ he has arranged to save you from the condemnation of your own sins. And maybe what I have just read from the Bible has never meant all that much to you. If this is the case, then let me tell you, on the basis of God's word, about something very, very serious, and something which will eventually affect you, whether you believe it or not. You see, the places where you have failed God and where you have shorted your friends and maybe even members of your own family, these failures and mistakes, according to the Bible, have the power to send you eternally to hell. This disturbing message may not be what you would like to hear, but it is what the Bible clearly and repeatedly teaches. In the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 18, we read, "The soul that sins, it shall die." So if you feel you are fairly religious and that your self-righteousness is enough to get you by on the day of judgment, don't count on it. In James chapter 2, in the Bible, we read that whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in only one point, he has become guilty of all. Nowadays, when we talk about sin and failure, we prefer not to think of ourselves. But the truth is, we could all be doing a little better in life. Probably you have not treated members of your own family as well as you might. Instead of standing by, wringing your hands, you might have helped your brother or your sister. Or maybe you might have helped your uncle or your aunt or one of your cousins when they were in trouble. You could have prayed for them during their days of difficulty, but you did not. Or perhaps your neighbors have been having marriage problems. If this is the case, have you extended to them your hand of love and concern? Or have you, as so many do today, simply joined in with the neighborhood gossip and watched as the domestic fireworks blew sky high? You see, doing something against our God and our neighbor is a very serious sin. However, failing to show acts of love and to help our neighbor, this lack of action on your part and mine, is also a very serious sin. Oh, praise God for His mercy and for His endless forgiveness. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. Yes, it cleanses you and me from all of our failures. This is of the greatest importance to know, because when you and I take a serious look into God's mirror of His condemning law, what we see is not very nice. In God's law, you and I see ourselves as the persons we really are, instead of the self-righteous Pharisees you and I so often claim to be. Thanks be to God. Yes, thanks be to God, the Apostle Paul says, because even while we were yet sinners, even as you and I are in the midst of our sins, God has had mercy upon us in His Son, the Lord Jesus. And it was this mercy and this love that moved God to permit His own Son to be sacrificed on the altar of the cross. This is the only way that your sins and mine could be completely paid for. There has been, and there will be, no other way. In the Bible, Acts chapter 4, we read that there is no other name under heaven except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby you and I can be saved from the curse of our own terrible sin. In Jesus Christ and in His crucifixion cross, there is hope for you in 1997, my friend. You have a future. You see, the prophet Isaiah writes that as he looked down from heaven, our gracious God saw the suffering of His Son, and He was satisfied. The terrible suffering, the innocent blood, and the agonizing death of Jesus on the altar of the cross has paid the price for your sins. This innocent blood has appeased, yes, it has appeased the wrath of God. For all those of us who place our faith and trust in Jesus, this blood acts as a shield and as a protector. This shield diverts God's anger and wrath away from us. By the grace of God, the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus prevents our own sins, yours and mine, from condemning us forever. For this gift of salvation, may God's Spirit enable each of us to joyfully sing the words of the hymn writer who wrote, "Lord Jesus, we give thanks to Thee that Thou hast died to set us free. Made righteous through Thy precious blood, we now are reconciled to God. O Lord, we pray, we are sometimes so busy with all the details of religion that we fail to see that which is most important. In Your grace and mercy, O God, for all who have heard Your word today, fix the focus of their faith upon the sin-atoning sacrifice of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By His bloody wounds, we are healed from all our sin. O Lord, in Your mercy, for Jesus' sake, hear our prayers and save us. Amen."
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.